Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, though, happy to be joined by Dave Lennon of Newsday. Talk a little baseball with him. And I just said to Tommy, I said, I like Dave Lennon. I wonder what he's thinking these days. I look forward to this conversation. So, honesty right off the bat, I'm looking forward to this conversation. Dave, how are you?
Hey, Chris, I was looking forward to the conversation, too. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's interesting times, obviously, and it's so hard to know just how a fan is supposed to digest all this news. And before we get to what the Mets should do, as you have taken all this in over this last period of time and digested it and put it in the blender and tried to come up with your overall general thoughts about what happened, what maybe should happen, and the term stain on baseball and what that means to you. Give us your overall thought about everything that we've gone through here in recent times.
As far as the Beltran angle or as far as overall?
Overall, and then we'll get to the Beltran angle.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's happened overall has been something that has grown to an extent that I don't think many people really could have predicted. I mean, myself included and other people in the industry. I mean, certainly when that Athletic story first came out, I think it was on November 12th now looking back, is that, yeah, it was a case of a whistleblower, and it certainly said some things that the Astros were using technology and video rooms and center field cameras to cheat. But, you know, we had kind of been down this road a little bit before with the Apple Watches, and everybody was kind of wondering, okay, this is another thing they have to kind of stamp out. But to see to the degree that this has grown and the way it's swallowed the sport, and it's cost four people their jobs already in the span of days, I mean, it's like a wildfire almost. And, you know, it's not put out either. I mean, this is a wildfire that continues to burn for baseball, and it's a situation where I'm not sure how quickly and cleanly it can be put out. I mean, it's an incredibly messy situation on a number of different levels. You have players chiming in. And like you mentioned, it goes across a lot of different levels, whether it's the integrity of the sport, whether it leaks over into the connection with legalized gambling these days. It's a multifaceted problem here.
And we're still waiting on the Red Sox and their involvement, and that will be, as you say, another shoe to drop and more of the wildfire. Try to, and I haven't done this myself, so it's not overly fair, but try to tell me what you think we'll look back on in 2025 about this whole incident and how it played out and what kind of change it brought to baseball. What's your guess about how this next year goes regarding this incident and its fallout?
But I think what this whole cheating scandal has come out of, Chris, and I think it goes back to a lot of unintended consequences. You know, when teams started wiring their stadiums for the sake of TrackMan analytical devices and began, you know, putting cameras everywhere for their own television networks, and baseball instituted instant replay because they wanted to get calls right, so every stadium had their own video replay room and the technology to look at things in real time. Well, what spun out of that were different ways to cheat and gain an advantage in the sport. You know, as many people keep bringing up, you know, cheating has existed for 100 years in baseball. They've always looked for an angle, whether it's telescopes in center field, whether it's other ways to alert batters about what was coming. So what we found is the technology has now made this more possible and more quickly to be done than ever before. So what they're going to have to do now is find a way to stop the technological edge or use the technology to battle the technology here. And it's become a situation where we'll look back on and say, you know what, that's something that needed to come out because this had to stop. And only by being aware of it were they able to stop it? And they will stop it. I mean, this will end, and the sport will move forward without this cheating aspect. Not that people won't look for other ways, but baseball will be extremely vigilant in ways to stop it now. And it's good this came to light when it did, because now they can take action against it.
I think you made an excellent point there that I hadn't thought about, was that, you know, and this happens all the time in life, collateral damage or unintended consequences are always a factor in any number of things that happen in people's lives. And this is a very good point that, you know, without especially replay, meaning that teams had to look at plays to decide whether they wanted to challenge or not and whether they wanted to look at them or not, it really did open up an opportunity that somebody who didn't have to be that bright said, hey, you know what, we could also use this for, and, you know, the rest is history. So I think it's a very good point from Dave Lennon, who joins us from Newsday to talk baseball a little bit. How do we defend the Mets' timing on the Beltran thing?
Well, I mean, as I've explained a couple of times in print and other things talking about, is that, listen, you know, I wanted to see the Beltran experiment work. I was curious to see how he was going to be as a manager, having covered him with the Mets and in other places and knowing how smart he was baseball-wise, you know, this other cheating stuff aside. But when this stuff came out and the momentum built and these other guys were losing their jobs with the Astros, and then the Red Sox fired Cora without even waiting to have the results of the commissioner's own investigation into their own team, it became impossible for the Mets to keep Beltran at that point. You know, you could talk about them doing the mea culpa press conference and rallying and standing behind him and saying he's still the Carlos Beltran we hired. But this really gave the Mets an opportunity to detach themselves from this cheating scandal that nobody, I mean, I said it would end, but we don't know when that's going to happen or what other stuff is going to come out. And the Mets really kind of had to take advantage of that. They had to take advantage of the opportunity to distance themselves from this, to just cut ties with it and start with a clean slate to the season. You know, as far as what the Mets have talked about with their process to getting there, I thought it took a little bit longer. They knew they needed to fire him by Tuesday, certainly, and it certainly dragged out beyond that. Who knew what when? You know, I think by the time the commissioner's report came out and his name was mentioned in it quite a bit, that they knew that they had to make a change.
Shouldn't they have called the commissioner at the time the rumors started? I think that's what a lot of callers believe, and frankly, it's what I believe. I don't know how you don't get a little heads up there and say, hey, should we have anything to worry about here? Because we don't want to be caught. You know, the later we go, the fewer candidates there'll be, and the less time we'll have to make a decision on who replaces them. So should we be, a little nervous here, or do you think he's going to get out of this fine, or is it too early to tell, and will you let us know when you do? I mean, shouldn't they have done that?
Well, the Mets said they did get a heads up that he wasn't going to be suspended. Jeff Wilpon did say that during the conference call. Now, as far as asking whether or not how guilty Beltran was or how much he was going to be listed in the report or to what degree, I'm not sure how much leeway the Mets have in particular. I mean, I know owners can certainly get the commissioner's ear on a number of things. On this case, for an ongoing investigation, I'm not sure the commissioner would have been so lenient as far as to give all the details to them before the report came out. So, yeah, they could try and see what they could have got out of the commissioner at that point. But again, I mean, I think part of this is the Mets paid attention to see what happened once the report came out, you know, once these other guys got fired. And that didn't happen until the report came out anyway. So if you want to talk about, did the Mets do enough due diligence while they interviewed Beltran and didn't ask him about the rumors already out about Houston, that's a separate issue, I think. But as far as knowing about what was coming down the line and whether or not how guilty Beltran was going to look, I think that would have been a little tougher to get a read on,
right,
aside from the fact the commissioner gave him the heads up on the suspension.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that all organizations deal with their past history and the amount of faith that people have in the people running them to begin with, and the Mets don't start in a good position there. So, people, you know, people will assume the worst. With the Yankees, they'll assume the best. I mean, that's just the way it generally works when you're in organizations like that. So what do they do now? How do they go about, in your mind, finding the best candidate and making the most of an awkward transition that they're going to have to make?
Oh, well, I mean, Chris, you know, there's certainly a time pressure here that there wasn't in the end of October in trying to find a manager. So it's not like they can just, you know, go through a month of rounds of interviews and figure out who the manager is. We're talking about three plus weeks before spring training starts. So I think in this case, they have to look at the guys that they've already interviewed and they already have in-house. Louis Rojas, the quality control guy who's already on the staff. Hensley Mullins, who's already on the staff as a bench coach. Those are two guys that have to be under consideration. I mean, for me, and I'm not the only one who's echoed this sentiment, I think the situation really begs for an experienced manager, a guy like a Dusty Baker or Buck Showalter or John Gibbons to come in here, because I know everybody wants to try to be cutting edge and have their own young guy to start out with and mold and collaborate with and be every up to date on all the club's analytical stuff. But for me, with 3 weeks to go before spring training, I'm thinking, get a guy in here that knows how to manage a baseball team, that's done it before, that's won before, that's shown he can handle it. And I think that's the way they should go. I'm not sure that's what they're going to do, but for me, I think there's a lot of value in that.
And what is your assessment of working with Brody for an experienced manager and the general Wilpon, Brody, and then field manager relationship? How much freedom do you think the new hire will have? Or does that depend on what you just talked about, whether they go with somebody experienced like a Dusty Baker or whether they go with someone who has less experience and needs more handholding?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I've never really got, Chris, with, I mean, Brody is a guy who's never been a GM before.
Right.
And, you know, he's been an agent and really didn't have an idea of what it takes to run a baseball operation. So to me, it kind of made all the sense in the world to hire an established manager so you can just let him do the manager stuff. That's one less thing you have to worry about as right. the GM of the team, right?
Right.
So to me, I think I don't want to get up. I don't think Brody, I mean, that's not to say that's what Brody wants. I mean, I could see that Brody would want maybe a guy that would just look at Brody as, okay, this guy knows what he's doing, knows what he's talking about. I can take orders from him. And I think during the press conference, when the kind of the Girardi thing came up, he was talking about, you know, he didn't want to go in the manager's office and have to worry about inhaling or exhaling, you know, or being worried about what the manager was going to say. I think when you're in a guy like Brody's position and still relatively new with this GM thing, you know, it's good to know what you don't know. And guys like experienced managers, like the group I just mentioned, know a lot about managing and know a lot about baseball that Brody doesn't know. So, again, that's why I'd like to lean that way. I'm not sure that's what they're thinking. It wouldn't surprise me if they just stay with a guy like Louis Rojas, who they already know and who's already in the organization. So they're probably not listening to what I have to say on it.
as an unbiased guy who loves the game and lives the game, how angry do Yankee fans have a right to be off of the Red Sox, Astros being the teams identified here as being not above board in the way they went about playing the game? Does the Yankee fan have a real right to be angry, or do you feel like, you know, you might be overblowing it a little bit? There may be a lot of other teams that weren't caught. What's your statement to a Yankee fan right now about how angry they should be about how things played out?
Yeah, I think they have a right to be angry. I mean, I think a lot of the Yankee players are angry. Some have come out and said it. We've heard CC Sabathia obviously talk about it recently publicly. So yeah, they do have a right to it. Same with the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers have a right to be pretty upset about what's happened to them at the hands of the Red Sox and the Astros as well. So, yeah, those teams were cheated out of potential series wins and out of potential titles. Now, that said, you know, I'm not sure I'd be too indignant about it because there are plenty of other things that go on that we don't know about.
Right.
And when you start to speak up and start being holier than thou on things, then you start to find out problems in your own house. And then you start being in the position that you were just criticizing. So I think that, other things can always come out. So, yes, be angry, be upset, feel like you were robbed. But, you know the limits. Know the limits on that and understand that there's plenty of other things. People like to bring up a lot of the players that did steroids, and that was cheating too, and those titles were tainted. So, you know, but it's fandom, and fans get riled up about a lot of things, and that's good for us in our business.
Let's finish with what you think the fans deserve from, and the other teams for that matter, from Rob Manfred. What do you want? What do you think we should get out of Rob Manfred before this season begins and after this is more or less put to bed? It may, the wildfire may burn a little bit, but hopefully it's 90% contained by the time the season starts. So what should we expect? What do we deserve from Rob Manfred?
Well, I mean, I think Manfred is off to a pretty good start, Chris. I mean, he's really dealt two of these cheating organizations some pretty serious blows. I mean, not directly, because he issued suspensions to those people, but the result were, you know, the top of the Astros organization being wiped out by the firings, and also with Cora, a very promising and intelligent manager, gone in Boston. Now, he stopped short of penalizing players, but what you need from Manfred now is to continue the investigations, you know, set up a committee, you know, make a very public show of this and say you're going to have a special organization or committee that looks into this stuff constantly, that tries to stay ahead of it. You know, just like they did with steroids when they implemented testing, you know, have people looking at video all the time, have people in these video booths, have people systematic checking up on the way teams are doing things. They need that. They need that public display for a lot of reasons, but not just as a show. It needs to be ahead of this cheating stuff and show that they not only are aware of it now, but have the ability to stop it. And like I said, I think they can, but that's where he has to go beyond the suspensions now, and just promising harsh penalties. We know the penalties are going to be stiff now, but he's going to have to be more proactive to stop this before it happens.
And don't you think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the game of baseball has more romance involved. It's fathers and grandfathers, and it dates back, you know, longer than any of us have been alive, and it's, you know, the 1919 Black Sox is such a legendary story because at that time there was nothing else and we all were baseball oriented. So it holds a special place for people. And whether the sport, you know, wanes in popularity, goes back up, whatever, it's still a part of the fabric of America in some ways. And I think that the fans don't want to lose that. They understand that they'll always be looking for an edge, you know, that part will never change, and there'll always be people trying to cheat the system and find a way to beat the system. That's not going away. That's human nature. But I think Manfred's got to reassure the American baseball fan that our sport's special and that our numbers matter and that we are going to protect it from anything like this, that baseball is sacred in some ways, and we want to keep that elevation and that place in American history.
Yeah, Chris, the thing is that you can't change the past now, right?
Right.
I mean, what's happened has happened. And the only thing you can do moving forward is saying we understand that these things have hurt the game and really did some damage to it, to our, you know, it took away what the value of our World Series championship might mean. You know, the biggest thing in our sport has been tarnished now because of this. So, again, what he has to do is recognize that and be more active in preventing this. You know, we're seeing players come forth now on Twitter coming up with more evidence that they say has happened. So, you know, there are plenty of leads for the commissioner to follow. The danger here, Chris, is that I'm not sure Rob Manfred wants to find buzzers under people's uniforms at this point, you know?
Yeah, tell me how the sausage is made. There's no percentage, right? In that.
Exactly. You say you want to do the investigation, but then you don't want to find the stuff, you know? That's the tricky part here. But, yeah, as commissioner, there has to be now a very proactive approach to this and to try to stay in front of it rather than just to be reactionary.
Dave, great conversation as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk again soon, hopefully about baseball and not about off-the-field baseball. We look forward to that, and enjoy this snowy weekend. Thanks.
That would be great, Chris. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.